Back in the 1800s, Maine had its moose, its lobster, its pools, meaning lovely small bodies of water, not lottery pools, mind you. Back then, lotteries were against the law in Maine, dismissed as a nuisance in the law books. And some Maine residents today might agree. Specifically, those thwarted last week by a judge in Maine. They'd come to court to try to get a share of a winning Powerball ticket, claiming that they'd been members of an office pooling agreement. Each paid a certain amount. One member took that money to a lottery agent and bought the tickets. If one ticket won, they agreed, all members of the pool would share in the jackpot. $291 million, you'll recall. One ticket won. But the member doing the buying, ticket sales records in hand, convinced a court last week that she'd purchased the winning ticket for herself. The other tickets were part of the lottery pool. And that's where it stands right now. The ticket purchaser gets to keep the jackpot, leaving those in the pool feeling like fish out of water. This, of course, is nothing new to the courts. There's been much litigation over the years springing from lottery pools. One court in the District of Columbia called it a common development, the story of two friends who split the price of a ticket only to have the ticket win and split their friendship. Such stories usually involve an informal agreement, as did the story in that case. One friend doesn't have any money at lottery ticket buying time, and so the other friend buys the ticket using his cash. That ticket, of course, wins the jackpot. Or one friend excitedly buys a number of lottery tickets and, feeling pre-scratching generosity, promises that if he wins, all win. In short, don't ever do that. It's because courts seem to approve of these informal agreements to buy lottery tickets. They, the courts, like to share the wealth. In the D.C. case, for example, judges found that the long-standing course of conduct between the friends, buying some drinks and lottery tickets each Friday, sharing small cash prizes by buying additional tickets, evidenced their agreement to split any prize. The court split the winnings in that case. As it did in the case from Illinois involving the generous gamer, the one who allegedly promised a victory for him, a victory for all. The friends gathered in a coffee shop, called, conveniently, Hitching a Ride, scratched the tickets, and the generous gamer signed the winning ticket with his name and each friend's initial. The court found a joint venture in those facts, people who seek a profit jointly without any formal designation. All scratchers are winners, the court decided, not just the fellow who'd purchased the winning ticket. There are cases going the opposite way, too. A one-paragraph opinion from New York, for example, finding no joint venture because the plaintiff in the case hadn't participated in the relevant pool. Or in a recent case from North Dakota, where the court found an out-of-state lottery ticket pooling agreement to be against public policy. Legislation there prohibits gambling, and the court refused to enforce a contract involving such conduct. So should the case from Maine continue on in the courts, depending on the facts, the case could go either way. In 2001, Maine has its moose, its lobster, its pools, as in lottery, but given the court's decision, those could be drying up. I'm Amy Guida.